As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night. While people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. With shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Wake me up when September ends. That's the title of a song by the American rock band Green Day. And at this time of year in my house, that's become a little bit of an anthem. Sometimes we feel we'd like to go to sleep and be woken up when September has ended. September marks the end of the summer, the end of the holidays, and the return to the school term time routine. It's the time of the year, one of the times, when we can feel the most overwhelmed. The evenings are getting darker, there's not a lot to look forward to, and the whole school year stretches out ahead of us. So we'd much rather avoid the pain of all that adjustment by just being woken up when September has ended, by which point we'll have got into the swing of the routine again and feel a bit more encouraged. But at the start, we'd be happy to rush on through the month. This September, here at St. Nick's, we're not wanting to rush on at all. If you've been keeping up with our online resources, or you've been here at church on a Sunday, you'll know that for the next 3 weeks of September, we're going to take time. We're going to take time to process and reflect and discern what God has been doing, looking back over the past 6 months and looking ahead. Today we're thinking about what we've lost during this time. It's a chance to express sadness and grief. The word the Bible uses for that is lament. But it's different from simply crying or expressing our emotions. It's a kind of prayer. Lament brings our pain, our sadness, our frustration to God, with the purpose of helping us to renew our trust in Him and our confidence in His care for us. Just a couple of weeks into lockdown in March, as he watched people trying to work out what God was doing through coronavirus, the theologian Tom Wright commented that we seem to think that everything needs an explanation, when what we should be doing is rediscovering the tradition in the Bible of lament. Lament is about asking questions of God, expressing our pain, and gaining a new sense of God's presence and hope, even while things remain unexplained. A third of the Psalms are songs of lament, and today's Psalm, Psalm 42, is one of them. It's full of emotion, it asks difficult questions, it swings from despair to hope, from doubt to faith. It's written by someone who knows what it is to have lost things that are dear to him, and so it has something to say to us today. The first experience of the psalmist is drought. He is dry, thirsty for God's presence. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Everything is weary and stale and flat and useless. And it's got that sense of having gone on for a long time, the slow agony of a drought, where everything is withered, animals are dazed and dying. There is no relief in sight. How long will it go on? The psalmist asks, when can I go and meet with God? The landscape is empty, as revealed by those who mock him. Where is your God? He is nowhere in sight. The psalmist doesn't liken himself to a camel who's used to the desert and self-sufficient. He's like a deer whose life depends on gaining access to water. There's a loneliness here, a deep sadness within himself, as expressed in the fact that his diet is made up of tears day and night. There's an isolation from fellow human beings who have no time for him. And there's a sense of God's absence. He feels truly on his own. God seems a long way away. And yet, he has begun by choosing to bring the pain to God. God is remote enough for him to feel deserted, but near enough for him to decide to pray. But he has lost his own sense of well-being. He's lost support from people around him, and he's lost all sense of where God is in it all. And he's also lost a sense of connection with God's people. If you look at verse 4, he remembers the good old days when his relationship with God wasn't dry, it was fresh and exciting. When he would go with a great crowd of people and lead the procession to God's house, and there would be noise and joy and thanksgiving, and the community praised God together. It sounds like it was a festival when people would pour into Jerusalem to worship. The public worship was all about God, but it certainly made a difference, sharing it with others and being able to celebrate together. This memory adds to his emotional pain, rubs salt into the wound of his sadness today as he looks back to the joy of the past. Perhaps a lot of this sounds too familiar. Do you remember what it was like to celebrate Easter here in church with 400 people? And to join in singing the Alleluia chorus together at the end of the service. Perhaps you found God's presence in the noise and laughter of all-age celebrations, or maybe in the quiet of sharing communion together. Perhaps you remember reading through the whole of the Gospel of Mark together at the six and sharing food. Hopefully, you'll still recall how easy it used to be to mingle together, to be with each other, how wonderful to fill the church at Christmas and on open days. Maybe we know something of the drought of the psalmist. But alongside the drought, the writer of the psalm is experiencing drowning. First drought, then drowning. In verse 6, because he's so downcast, he determines to remember God where he is. He's a long way from Jerusalem, where God makes his presence known in a special way. Mount Hermon is in the far north of Israel, on the border, maybe even outside the boundary of Israel. He is in a strange place, standing where the River Jordan rushes and roars along. Here the water is powerful and dangerous, and it's a picture of the chaos of life that is totally overwhelming him. Verse 9 and 10 suggest he is drowning in his grief, under the pressure he feels, under the mental agony of God forgetting him, and of the mockery of others. And perhaps even physically, he is suffering. He talks about his bones suffering mortal agony. Maybe for you, the experience of lockdown hasn't left you feeling as if you're in a drought, thirsty, dry, weary, empty. But perhaps it has left you feeling overwhelmed with anxiety, with increased workload, with homeschooling, or just juggling all the different needs in your family. And all of it sweeps over you and threatens to knock you off your feet. Maybe, although geographically you've not gone anywhere, you actually feel like you're now living in a strange land. Interestingly, having had waves and breakers sweep over him, which he sees as God's waves, the psalmist is able to see God as his rock, a place where he can stand firm. But then he fires questions at God. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning? It's okay to complain. The ancient singers knew how to do it, and we can make use of their words of reverence and disappointment, their confidence in God, and then their exasperation at his lack of action. They give us permission to praise God one moment and then shake our fists at him the next. They teach us to pray all our inner conflicts. But at the beginning, I said the purpose of lament is to pour out all our loss and pain to God, so as to help us to renew our hope in his care. And we see that renewal of hope woven throughout this psalm as the writer's perspective bounces back and forth. Just look at verses 3 and verse 8. My tears have been my food day and night. And then, day and night the Lord directs his love and his song is with me. God is with him. All hope is not lost. He knows something of God's loving kindness in the midst of it all, and is able to sing and to pray. There is hope in the reassurance that all our words and our sighs and tears reach God. The task of lament is to let it all out, express all that we're feeling to God, to ask for his help, but then to remember, to remind ourselves of what he's done in the past, and that he is the one in whom we should place our hope. We often find something called self-talk in the Bible. And we see it here in those repeated phrases of verse 5 and verse 11. And actually, it's repeated again in Psalm 43. The writer is saying to himself, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" He speaks out his distress and disturbance, but also instructs himself to put his hope in God. That while it is difficult to praise God now, that praise will return. Joy and thanksgiving will be part of his life again. If you're a Christian today, there is a conversation going on here between two aspects of our lives. We're called to live with our hope and our mind on God and with the perspective of eternity. But we also live in a time when we are under pressure. These verses teach us to take both seriously. We acknowledge our pain, but we place our hope in God. "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" he says to himself. "Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." And it's personal too. My Saviour, my God. The Christian faith has at its heart the saving act of Jesus Christ, who knew what it was to experience drought, forsaken by God, rejected by his friends, alone as he went to the cross for us. He knew what it was to experience drowning as all the waves and breakers of sin and death swept over him. The mystery of our faith too is that we have a God who laments, who was so grieved by the sin of his people that he sent Jesus to pay the price. And in Jesus we have a God who wept at the grave of his friend and was saddened by the hardness of people's hearts. The one who wants to be your saviour himself knows the drought and the drowning. Take time to remember him. May we each decide to trust him, to make him our rescuer. The question we're asking today is, what have we lost? I know that over the past 6 months, our experiences have not been the same. And for some people here today, lockdown has been a lovely time. It's been restful. It's given them a chance to enjoy the garden, to pray more, to get on with a project, and enjoy a slower pace of life. But for every person for whom that is the case, there will be many others whose experiences have been very different. Maybe like the psalmist, you've experienced great sadness and isolation, with no sense of God's presence and no support from those around you. Maybe you've actually had people ask you where your God has been during the pandemic. Perhaps you've mourned the loss of the company of God's people and of worshipping together. It may be that your mental health has been affected, that you've been overwhelmed, and that your physical health has declined in this time. Perhaps you've yo-yoed back and forth in your faith, as the psalmist did. What have you lost? What has been hard? I've lost a number of things over these months. But one of those things is that I've lost time with my dad. And we weren't able to celebrate his 90th birthday in the way that we'd hoped. Maybe your loss is work-related, or in bereavement, or a loss of confidence. What questions would you like to ask God? Why has this happened? Where are you in it, Lord? I've got questions like, Lord, how long will church be like this? Lord, why did we launch our vision this time last year, only for it all to come to a grinding halt within 6 months? What does it mean for the church going forward? How can we sustain much of our life together? Lament is about expressing and asking all these things, not so that we can wallow in them, not so that we can be full of self-pity, but because it's healthy to acknowledge them and renew our hope in God, even while COVID-19 is still very much with us and restrictions continue, and we don't have all or even any of the answers. We lament as Christians because we know God is good. We believe in his power to deliver. We know the tomb is empty. Yet we still experience pain and sorrow. Lament is the prayer language we use so that we can live with loss and uncertainty on the one hand and trust in God on the other. We grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. If you would like to, you can print off one of these teardrops from the website on today's Sunday page. Take a moment to write in it the things that you've lost during these past 6 months, or the things you've found hard. Bring them to the Lord. Use your teardrop to mark Psalm 42 in your Bible and remind yourself of the hope we have in Jesus. Be in touch if you'd like to pray through anything that this topic has raised with you. Let me pray for us. Lord, we bring to you all that we've lost at this time. We've been downcast and disturbed at times. Make us strong through your Holy Spirit, that we may put our hope in you, our Saviour and our God. Amen. Disciples frightened and
We stay.